Let's pray. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations on your word be from you. May you speak through me to us this morning. Open our eyes and our ears to see and hear from you. And Lord, as we think about how we too can be living examples, speak to us with your presence here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're thinking today about being living examples. And Nehemiah was a living example of good leadership, of sharing and caring in the community with which he was in. He was a role model, if you like, to kind of the community there, and saw that there was an injustice and went about tackling that. I wonder, kind of, around us, what kind of role models exist? I don't know if you recognise any. Who can recognise some of these? Do shout out. I know we don't normally do that, but shout out. Dolly Parton. David Attenborough. So we've got Dolly Parton, who some people will really look up to. Quite a lot of young women feel empowered by her and her music and kind of the 9 to 5, that kind of song and all other things. So she's quite a good, I think, yeah, Barack Obama, so quite poignant being the first black president. We've got David Attenborough kind of and his kind of work for ecology. We've got Malala, yeah, and sort of she's quite a role model, particularly to sort of Afghani girls, but also to lots of people thinking about equity and justice. We've got Marie Curie there, a role model to many people, sort of a high-ranking scientist. I'm sure all of you secretly know this, but the chap next to Dolly Parton is called Mr. Beast, and apparently he's a very famous American YouTuber. I mean, I know that we're all following him, so I didn't need to express that. But there are lots of YouTubers, are kind of role models to a lot of the younger generation. A lot of people spend hours following different YouTubers, and they have a kind of influence over a lot of people. And then at the bottom we've got Hannah Cockcroft, who is kind of a Paralympian. So again, a role model to a lot of people. I wonder who are some of your role models. When I was looking up kind of Googling kind of different people's role models, some might be politicians, some might be activists, some might be siblings or ministers of faith, people that we've kind of want to kind of model. I wonder who for you has been influential in your life. Who are role models that you kind of aspire to be to other people too? Do we think the fact that we are actually role models to people around us, how we live and act, is a kind of model of kind of who God made us each to be? Maybe we don't think of that, think of actually that we have an area of influence in our world. We're thinking, using this passage in Nehemiah, about the problems of hunger and exploitation. And this was a problem that Nehemiah faced, and so they'd been kind of building the wall, and they'd kind of had some opposition to that, as we kind of briefly looked at last week. And it kind of takes a backseat, kind of the actual building of the wall takes a backseat in this passage, as well as does kind of the opposition that they kind of face. And Nehemiah's focusing on this problem that is raised to him about the problem of hunger and exploitation. See, he kind of hears these complaints from these people about kind of the injustices that are happening and how they're really struggling to eat and have enough for food for themselves. And we get Nehemiah as a living example of how to kind of tackle hunger and exploitation. And we kind of might look at the world and think, there is a lot of stuff going on. How can I have any impact on that? It's massive, global, bigger than me. But actually, Nehemiah is a living example of how he could influence his little corner of the world and how that could have an impact on others. Our opening verse this morning was this from Proverbs. It says, "Whoever oppresses a poor man insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." If we are generous to the needy, to help people in hunger in our little circle of influence, then we're honouring God through that. And Nehemiah was a living example of this. And hopefully we can learn a bit about how we can do the same thing. In our series, we're thinking about this year of discernment as a church, and we've been using Ezra and Nehemiah to help us in this process of kind of thinking how we can move forward, how we can know that God will build his kingdom, that God is helping us to kind of move forward. He will build his church. We've thought about how we can stand in the gap and we can bring the needs of the world before God. And so today is about how actually we then are stirred to action, how we are stirred to action as being living examples in the world that look out for those that are needy, those that are in hunger, those that are exploited. It helps us to think about opening our eyes to what is going on in the world about us. So like I said, what role can we play in tackling hunger and exploitation? That might look different for all of us, but we're going to kind of use this passage to help us think about that in our setting today. And one thing Nehemiah did was he was aware of the hidden strains in the community. In verse 1 to 5, and if you are following, do follow, it's on page 489, Nehemiah chapter 5. And we've got this encounter where there's this outcry, and these sort of men and their wives are coming towards to Nehemiah and saying, look, we and our sons and daughters are numerous. In order for us to eat and stay alive, we must get grain. So they're really struggling to get enough grain to survive. We have others saying that we've had to borrow money in order to pay the king's taxes. So there's this kind of usury, this kind of money that they have to pay. And they're really struggling to be able to pay that and to have enough to eat. And then again, they sort of talk about how they're having to kind of almost sell some of their sons and daughters into slavery because there's just not enough money to have basic needs. And it's not a sole problem to the Old Testament. This is a real situation that Nehemiah found himself in, that there was a real need in the community, a real need to solve the kind of problems of hunger and exploitation. But that's nothing new, and it's not new today, and it wasn't new back then. And as we follow through in the Bible, in Acts, there was a similar kind of outcry. So the Hellenistic Jews were kind of saying, look, then these people aren't being cared for enough. You're kind of doing it all with the kind of the Jews that are from Jerusalem, and kind of these need help too. So in Acts chapter 6 verse 1, we kind of read that. And so from there, they kind of appoint other people to kind of look out for the needs of that community. I wonder what the strains are in our community. Like Nehemiah kind of was faced with this sense of, I put you can't eat walls, because there was a kind of an accusation that's saying, you're kind of putting all the resources into the building of the walls and we can't eat ourselves. And in Acts 6, again, there was the sense that the kind of Hellenistic Jews weren't being cared for, that there was people going without. What are the strains in our community? It's a real privilege being part of a governing body of a school, but it's heartbreaking at the same time when you kind of realise the amount of kind of child impoverishment that is in our area. And the stories you hear about kind of things that I would just take for granted, it's just heartbreaking. How can we see those strains and how can we act? When I was doing research, again, Thanet has kind of got 11%, in 2020, 11% of kind of the trafficking people in Kent were in Thanet. Food banks and stuff in the last kind of 4 years have increased by sixfold. There are lots of strains in our community. Let's have our eyes open to what they might be so that we can hear them. And then as Nehemiah does, you know, this man of action, then we can act. See, Nehemiah saw the situation and he was stirred to anger. He was, in verse 6, we read this. He said, when I heard their outcry and these charges, I was very angry. And not sort of angry because they came to him, but angry because this isn't right. He saw the strains in the community and saw that it wasn't right that they existed. And his anger stirred him into action. And he was controlled and constructive in how he went about. And so we read from verse 7 through to 13 of this kind of process. So he gathered people together. He called a large meeting and he kind of explained kind of what things were, what they were doing, and kind of called them on it. He called them out on it. He said, "You're exacting usury from your own countrymen. So as far as possible, we've brought back our Jewish brothers who were sold to the Gentiles, and now you're selling your brothers only for them to be sold back to us." He's kind of leavening the accusation at them of how they've not been behaving well. And he says to them, "What you are doing is not right." I wonder, in our society, what can we see that what people are doing is not right? And how can we be stirred up to be able to then do something controlled and constructive? One commentator says that in this passage, the lenders were behaving like pawnbrokers. So there was people kind of lending money to help people have grain and stuff. But actually, they were kind of acting like pawnbrokers and harsh ones at that, instead of as brothers. So Nehemiah kind of is saying, look, let's scrap all the debt. Let's give gifts to people so that everyone has enough. He wants to redress the wrong that is existing. And so in verse 7 to 13, like I said, he kind of redresses the wrong. And he kind of says, look, this is what we need to do. What you're doing is not right. You need to kind of stop lending people the money. You need to be generous and give gifts. Return their vineyards, give back their olive groves. And you're kind of, yeah, the 100th part of the money, grain, new wine, you're kind of to give to them. And the people go, yep, we're going to give it back as you demand. We will do as you say. And they kind of make oaths and they make this decision that they're going to kind of move forward, looking out for the needs of the community. I think Nehemiah has a great pattern of leadership. So he kind of sees the strains in the community. He then kind of gets angry and kind of stirred up and wants to do something about it and acts to redress the wrong. And then we get this passage in sort of 14 to 19 where he kind of lays out his credentials, so to speak, kind of shows how he leads by example. And he kind of talks in verse 14 about how he was kind of appointed the governor of the area. And so he kind of is entitled within that role to kind of receive a lot of food and wealth. And yet he talks about how the fact that he doesn't take what is unnecessary and actually he then shares it with others. And his motivation is because of his love for God and his love for his fellow brother and sister. He doesn't show entitlement because of his role, but he models an example of humility. He models an example of someone that is generous. Doesn't lord it over the people. We were told that kind of predecessors of his kind of lorded it over the people, kept things for themselves. But he's devoted himself to the work of the wall and to kind of help equip people so they can live and survive. And I love this. Kind of feels like a party in his kind of place. He's kind of feeding 150 Jews and officials. So he's like giving that generosity away. And there's an ox and 6 sheep and some poultry. It's like a big feast, isn't it? But there's that generosity, kind of that overwhelming generosity. There's a sense that he wants to be remembered by God for his generosity. That actually knows that God has put him in this position, and he's modeling that to others about being generous and sharing. And you might think, well, I'm not a leader, like that's not relevant for me, but actually being a leader just means you have a kind of circle of influence. And I think we all have circles of influence. We have our friends and our community and our neighborhood. We have our family, people that we volunteer with or work with. How can we model these things in the way we deal with our friends and our neighbours and our work colleagues? How can we be motivated to look out for those that might be sort of suffering from exploitation, those that are hungry? But just in our relationships, how do we model good behaviour that honours God and honours our brothers and sisters? In Mark's Gospel, Jesus sums up the law in this way. He says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. See, this is what Jesus uses to sum up how people, his followers, should be living examples. By loving God, but then loving neighbor as self. How are we loving our neighbours here in Ramsgate? So what is this passage teaching us for our community? We talked about how in this year ahead we want to be listening to what God might be moving us to, what he might be encouraging us to move into in the years following that. And there's quite a few questions we can ask of ourselves, and we're kind of going to be asking questions, and do fill in those online forms if you've got any questions that you think we should be asking God, or write them on a bit of paper and give them to Paul or myself. But what do we want to be asking God? I wonder if some of them, where is there an outcry in our community? We've talked about kind of the impoverishment in of child impoverishment. Where can we kind of hear that outcry and get involved? I've had quite an opportunity in my funeral ministry of coming across lots of people who are really struggling with bereavement and grief. And there's very little out there to help. And it breaks my heart. How can we help more as communities, as church, bringing hope and friendship and companionship in those difficult times? Where is there an outcry in our community? What is what wrongs, what strains are happening? And how can we redress them? What wrongs can we redress? And how can we lead by example? I wonder if you want to think about your spheres of influence. What people do you come across day in, day out, week by week? What things do you see around you? We've talked about how the fact that as God's people, we are on a mission from God. And as part of that, we want to be thinking about, well, what are the needs of our community? And how can we be living examples? It's something worth thinking about, of how we can model loving the Lord our God with our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbour as ourselves. How we can deal with hunger and exploitation in the way that we treat other people. We can be people that don't exploit, that don't take people for granted, that are generous with what we have. As we move in through this year of discernment, I wonder, what is God stirring in us? All of us will be different, but also I think there will be a kind of overarching thing as a whole community that God will be stirring us to do things. There might be anger boiling up in you at a situation you see in the street, or you hear something, and it's kind of, I think that's God telling us that this is something that we need to like hold on to and kind of work out. Like Nehemiah got angry about the situation. Where are we going to get angry? What's God going to do in our lives? What is God stirring in us to do? We're just going to spend some moments in some quiet. Alison invited us earlier to kind of be in God's presence, and I wonder if that's something we can continue right now. Sometimes we are all action and we want to be all action, and Nehemiah was a man of action, wasn't he? But actually, there was something where it was all backed by his prayer life. So I'm going to go back a few slides. And these questions for us in our community, where is there an outcry? What wrongs can we redress? And how can we lead by example? And I'm just going to encourage us. I do this often in schools, having this time of reflection in collective worship. But let's just spend some time in a bit of silence. We can look at the questions and have a conversation with God about these things? Where are you stirred up? It might be working with kind of families with autism and ADHD and helping build a community around that. It might be getting alongside vulnerable women and kind of migrants. It might be working alongside bereaved, having experiences of it ourselves. It might be continuing with community meal and working with those that need support. It might be being the best doctors we can be in our jobs and vocations, the best ministers we can be as we share God's word with others and help to build community. So let's pause. Where is there an outcry? What wrongs can we redress? And how can we lead by example? Father, we thank you for the example of Nehemiah, who heard the outcry of your people and acted to redress the wrong. Lord, we thank you for his example of generosity and care for his fellow man. Lord, help us as you have hopefully opened our eyes to the outcries around us. Lord, help us to know where we can be involved in acting to show your love for the world, that we would love our neighbour just as ourselves. Lord, help us to be living examples of your love as we seek to be a blessing to those around us. Lord, help us to share your generosity with others. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.